Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So you know, this show's purpose is to help people in their mindfulness journey, and I hope that you treat this show as a mindfulness practice in itself. In other words, an opportunity to bring your full attention to the present moment, to give yourself some time to relax into this moment, and allow yourself to find places and your experience that resonate with the topics that we talk about, so that you can enhance your understanding of yourself as you become a student of your own mind, which is an essential part of a mindfulness practice. So my topics are intended to support you on your mindfulness journey, because mindfulness, bringing our full attention to the present moment without judgment, is a simple goal that's hard to put into practice. But its value, right? The value of a mindfulness practice is that it brings us greater peace. And when we have greater peace in ourselves, we're better able to bring peace and share peace in the world. And regardless of what's happening in any of our lives right now, being a source of greater peace in the world seems like a really good aspiration for all of us to have. So yesterday, I woke up when my alarm went off, and that means that usually I wake up in the middle of a dream. And so this was at the tail end of a dream, and I only remember maybe the last, I don't know, it's dreamline or land, right? So 30 seconds, a minute. I was walking up the steps of a house. I think I lived in the house, and it looked like a really charming house with a deep front porch and plants and wind chimes lining the pathway and all around hanging. And I was walking up the steps with a woman who was older than me, and she seemed in my memory of the dream to be a cross between my mother, my dissertation advisor, and the Gillian Anderson's portrayal of Margaret Thatcher in The Crown. So, you know, my dreams are quite subtle. So she was giving me advice, right? Of course, at least I think she was. But in my head, I wasn't really particularly listening because I was in my head and I was filled with worry. And I had two really distinct thoughts. One was, I am so behind in my work. If I could just this week, if I could just for this week, get everything done that I need to get done, if I could just do that this week. And the second thought, which immediately followed, was, you are so far behind right now, it wouldn't make a difference. There was a time in my life when those two thoughts were my constant shadow. You're so behind, you need to get caught up, and it's so late, it'll not make a difference. I went nowhere without those two thoughts, I would say. But that hasn't been true for several years. And then here they were again, these two thoughts showing up in my dreams and frankly hanging around for much of the day afterwards. And it seemed as if my inner critic is now creating my dreams, maybe has always been creating my dreams. You know, that inner critic who always has something to say is both a product of our lived experience, right? My own choices, my own life to date has helped produce those two thoughts of deep negativity and hopelessness. But also it's a product of my culture, right? I live in a culture, my friend Craig would say it's the curse of neoliberalism, right? That unless I'm producing on time at a high rate of speed, then I don't have any value, that I'm no more valuable than what I produce. So today we're going to talk about another source of shadows that hover over us in our mindfulness journey, and that's the shadow idea of the happy family. And each of us live our own, have our own lived experiences with family, just as we do with, you know, feelings of value and productivity. And we also live in a culture that saturates us with images about what not only a happy family is, but maybe what a good family is. So around the holiday season, I think both of those things, our own past of family life and our culture at large telling us what good family life looks like, really converge, and it can make for a very challenging experience. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because that convergence of our lived experience and the cultural moment and the literal time of the year being often for many of us a holiday season, which brings us together with our families, really is an opportunity for that inner critic to go to town, right? It gives that inner critic so much material to tell us that we are somehow wrong. So that's a lot to talk about, isn't it? So let's start by breathing, because that will, at least it'll give me a lot more peace, and I hope it will for you too. So we're gonna use this practice we used last time, which is some people call the breath of joy. Others do not call it that, or they call something else the breath of joy, but that's what we're gonna do. So here's how it works, right? We bring our hands to our heart center on an inhale. We interlace our fingers and stretch our arms in front of us on the exhale. We bring our hands still interlaced over our head on an inhale, and then we release our hands and exhale. So we're gonna do that three times, okay? And we do this because bringing attention to our breath can be calming, it can be centering, and it can bring greater clarity. So here we go. Inhale, hands to heart center. Interlace fingers, exhale, arms in front of us. Inhale, hands overhead. Exhale, release hands. You do it on your at your own breath rate, okay? Inhale. Final time. Thanks for joining me within that. So our topic today, family, holidays, COVID. Oh my. As the winter holidays draw near, many of us grow anxious as we anticipate more interaction with our families. And even this year, where travel may be severely limited and we may be replacing face-to-face interaction with online encounters, communicating with family members can challenge our ability to stay present in the moment without judgment. And let's just take a pause right there to say, and ask you, excuse me, to imagine that. You are with your family online or in a safe way in person, and you're there, and you're talking to each other, and you're not judging anything. I don't know about you. That seems like a really tall order to me. And why is that? What's happening, right? So as we talk about the challenge of being with our families at the holiday season and this and a mindfulness spirit of a non-judging awareness, we want to ask ourselves, what makes this difficult? And I would say one thing, and what I want you to be thinking about right now, is what is the picture in your mind of how holidays, here's that word, should be? And maybe those pictures come from your own childhood. Maybe holidays in your family were, for you as a child, incredibly joyous, happy, light-filled moments. Maybe they weren't, but your friend's childhood looked that way and you'd like to reproduce that. Maybe you've seen it in movies and novels. Maybe it's just your own fantasy world. And so asking yourself, what do I think it should look like? Knowing that should, of course, is a tricky word and one that we're gonna inquire about its value, but just for a moment, as you think about what you want to look like, what you want your holidays to look like, ask yourself, what is that picture and where does it come from? Because I think that those pictures then create our expectations, which is the next important question, is what are your expectations of how a holiday should look, right? Is it that situation where everything is just right? Everyone gets the gift that makes them thrilled. Everything about the meals is perfect. There is no fussing. There are no mistakes. There are no complications. There are no sharp words or hissing conversations. There's no disappointment, right? And you may say to yourself in that logical part of your mind, of course, it's not going to be perfect. But your reality, right, of your lived experience, of your mind and your body in those moments, when there is disappointment and fussing and a burned turkey, what happens to you then? So I think the important thing about these two questions before we go to break, when I ask you to think about them even more, maybe even take notes about what does your mind tell you a holiday celebration should look like? Where do those pictures and images come from? What expectations does that set for you? And it might then remind you of ways in which you think your family or your experience of the holidays in general falls short, right? And then we can move into those questions about what are some of the challenges that you anticipate? And we do this not to dwell on the past and be caught in kind of an unhappy spiral, but actually to bring a greater mindfulness to it, to the situation. So when we take a break, if you'll think a little bit about what you think an ideal or what you think a holiday should look like and where those images come from, and then we'll talk about some more in more detail about our experience of family holidays. So you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio on Nothing But Now, or you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. That works too. And we'll be right back.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amira Beth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit AmiraBeth.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga, When Success Feels Easy, every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. And today we're talking about the holidays, anticipating time with family in many cases, particularly in the context of the COVID crisis, which may be completely changing the way that you're interacting with your family. But even if the medium has changed, it may be that some of the stresses remain. Now, I don't want to say that I think every family holiday gathering is painful for people or filled with unhappy memories, but I do think that it is a place where we have our own personal expectations and past, which may or may not be happy, and also a cultural context that really, I think, pressures us to have a holiday that looks a particular way. And you can think about people you know, perhaps in your life, who maybe they had beautiful family childhood holidays, and they're trying to recreate that. Or maybe their holidays in their childhood were kind of ugly and unpleasant, so they're trying to resolve that through having perfect ones as an adult. So either way, and whether it's from our own personal experience or kind of being in response to, and unavoidably so, the culture, the holidays can create a very challenging environment where it's tough for us to really find a place of mindfulness, of awareness, being present to the moment without judgment. And if we think about some of the negative behaviors people engage in around the holidays, it's often about trying to take themselves out of the pain of the moment that they're experiencing. So what we're talking about today is, how do we prepare ourselves in a way that is mindful rather than a way that it is simply reminding ourselves of all the unpleasant experiences maybe we've had in the past, or ramping ourselves up for it's got to be perfect. And I think one place to go with this is to think about some of the challenges that we might anticipate. So often in the context of family, and I think this happens anytime with family, but it certainly can happen more in the context of the holidays, where we see more people and maybe people we don't see as often. One of the things that we struggle with is the notion of the stories we tell ourselves about how our family sees us, right? So we have lots of evidence. We have lots of, I can point to a million interactions of things a sister or brother parent has said to me over the years that I think of as evidence of how they see me in either a positive or a negative way. But I really want to be able to come to terms with not so much their behavior as the story I tell myself about how they see me. And one kind of strategy, I think, for doing that is to think about your sense of what role you play in your family, because this can be a place where we often feel stuck and frustrated, and it can, without it being made explicit, it can be something that fuels our interaction in a negative way with family members, right? So do you know, or what do you think in terms of how other people in the family see you, right? Are you the peacemaker? Are you the rebel? Are you the good child? Are you the outsider? Are you the one that no one ever has to worry about because your life is just fine and therefore they ignore you, right? How often when you go into your in an interaction with family, honestly, whether it's online or in person, do you feel people talk about this? Oh, it's like I was 12 years old again. You just go right back to that moment. And we want to slow down and say, is it a function solely of the way people are interacting with us? Or what is the story I'm also bringing to that interaction that says, yeah, here I am, I'm 12 years old again. And maybe it's a, you know, it's little things, but when it's your family, they become so large, right? It's being called by the childhood nickname that you never liked to begin with, right? It's being brought low by the insistence on people telling stories about the past. And stories maybe when you're featured, it feels like you're the failure or the butt of the joke or the fool. If you take a moment now and think about when you go into those family interactions, what are some of the things that happen that can be troubling and upsetting to you and that other people don't necessarily notice? I'm the youngest of six, and there's kind of a gap between myself and my older siblings. And if I think back to holiday dinners, even when I was a little kid, but they were somewhat older, at the time, it seemed like a lot of laughter and stories, and a lot of it was very, very exuberant and pleasant, and those are some really very happy memories. But if I think about some of the stories, I realize that if I was a particular one of my siblings, I'd pretty much hate those stories. I'd have hated them for a long time, and I would have resented it every time they were told. Now, there probably were stories that were kind of embarrassing to everybody in the group, each individual, but I really try to, if I want to bring, and I do, feeling and a perspective of compassion towards each of my siblings, I can say, wow, there were some stories that I'm sure were not their favorites. And that I think it fueled a kind of rivalry and tension that wasn't always apparent at the time, but I think was underlying a lot of our interactions with each other. So sometimes when we think about these family interactions, it can seem very overwhelming. It can seem as if there's really nothing to be done about it. So I'm going to suggest a framework, at least for today, to think about as a way to bring yourself to a greater sense of acceptance with your family as simply who they are. And acceptance does not mean agreement. Acceptance does not mean approval. Acceptance does not mean tolerating behavior you don't like. It just means checking in with reality and saying, this is what's true of my family. And I would like you to think about this in terms of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief. Now, I started by asking you to think about what is the idea in your mind, the image in your mind of what a family holiday should look like. And the reason I asked you to do that is connected to these 5 stages of grief. I think for many of us, there is grief associated with letting go of that image, of saying that is not how the family holiday is going to be, whether it's in person or online. It never has been that way, or it was that way, or it looked that way when I was 5, but a more realistic adult perspective of it shows me it was never that way. But I do think it's worth thinking about. It's hard to move simply from, okay, that's not the reality, that's not going to work that way, to acceptance, right? And I think that's why these stages of grief are, and I also think there is grief in that. There is sadness. So if we think about those 5 stages, you know, the idea that my family is not going to be the family of my dreams. The first stage is denial. And if you think about the experience of going to a holiday, right, we often start from denial. Everything's going to be fine, right? It's going to be fine. It's going to be nice. It's going to be pleasant. This year's going to be different, right? I've got it all figured out. I've planned it. It's maybe I'm in control of it all. And so now I realize it's going to be perfect and that it's not. And maybe we then feel anger, right? That it, the disappointment, the hurt, the frustration, that's real. We really can and do feel that way. And there's something valuable about allowing ourselves to acknowledge that sometimes our family is incredibly disappointing to us. It's hurtful that we are, that they are not going to be the family of our dreams. That third stage is bargaining, right? If only, I think it's really characterized by that phrase, if only this sibling would change. If only I had done something different. If only we'd had it at this other house. There's all of that bargaining that we do with our families, at least in our own minds, where we say, if only it could be different. The next stage in this process for Kubler-Ross is depression, right? Just the sadness. And I think it's very important to accept that it can be sad, whether you're comparing your family to what it was like when you were a kid, your best friend's family, or what it looked like from the outside, the idealized image that you see in a movie or a magazine, doesn't matter what the comparison is. If you feel sad that that's not your family, yeah, there's value in just simply accepting that about yourself, that it makes you sad. Not to hold on to it like a grudge, but to say, I'm a person who feels sad that my family is different from what I'd like it to be in these images that I have, what I think it could be. And then finally, there is acceptance. And then next, what we're going to talk about in the next segment really is, what does acceptance look like, right? We are who we are. We are enough just as we are. How can we bring that attitude to our families to say, my family is what it is. It's enough just as it is. And I want to bring a sense of non-judging awareness to my relationship with my family, even in these holiday times. And the other thing I want to mention about this before we move on is, when you think about Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, right? Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. A couple of things that people have pointed out, and I think Kubler-Ross has pointed out about them too, is even when we're talking about them in the relationship to a loved one dying, is that they don't necessarily happen in this order, Right? It's not a linear process. You always start with denial. You always end at acceptance. And it doesn't necessarily just happen once. So the idea that you might have thought to yourself, I've come to accept my family just as they are. And then something happens out of the blue and you think, oh, here I am again in anger about them not being what I'd hoped they could be. Here I am again trying to bargain with them or with myself about who they are or what they could be. So when I say also that acceptance does not necessarily mean approval or accepting into my life behavior that is not in my best interests, it's because I really want to emphasize this point about acceptance. You know, if I can only be happy in your company if you change, then I really need to question whether or not being in each other's company is in my best interest or yours, right? So acceptance of my family being just who they are and allowing that, allowing myself to accept that, does not necessarily mean that it can, you know, I think sometimes we get this, okay, I got to acceptance. So isn't joy just around the corner with all the Christmas lights or whatever lights I might like to use? No, acceptance does not necessarily put us in a place of that fantasy of family life, but it does bring us peace. And that's just as valuable if you ask me, possibly more so. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how do we bring mindfulness practices to bear in anticipation of family holiday gatherings, whether they're online or in person. Where does that take us in terms of our mindfulness practice, really focusing more on us and what we can do rather than trying to change the external world, which we probably can't. Okay, you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll see you right after the break.
Step into your highest potential and tune into embodying your higher self. Tools for Conscious Living with Michelle Cempaka. You can listen on transformationtalkradio.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Michelle is an energy healer, intuitive, and shamanic practitioner dedicated to helping you heal and transform your life. For more information about sessions, coaching, and upcoming workshops and retreats, visit spiritweaverjourneys.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Excuse me. So we are talking today about holidays, family around the holidays, and being with family, either in physical proximity, but with safety precautions in place, or online due to the COVID pandemic. And we're also talking about the challenges that that presents, because we all have our own histories with our families, some very, very positive, some most kind of mixed, some very painful. And those can really become very prevalent and salient at the holiday time when we're gathered together in one way or another, but also because we live in a culture that reinforces this idea of what a good family should look like at the holiday season. And we may be finding ourselves trying to recreate that. And so I've suggested that one thing we might do is to, in the process of trying to accept that our family is not probably going to meet some idealized image. In fact, it's not going to, right? Things happen. They always will. And instead of allowing that normal imperfections of life to cause us enormous suffering, we can accept that our family is not the family of our imagination, and it never will be. And there are, to use something like Kubler-Ross's stages of grief, to say, to gain the capacity to get to acceptance, to notice that, yeah, there's a denial phase where I think it's all going to be fine. I experience anger when there's failure. I want to bargain to try to make things different. I'm sad because they are not the family of my dreams. And then I can move towards acceptance to say, that is okay. That is true. And that is okay. And I'm okay. So I want to talk about some more concrete ways to think about doing this. And so first of all, I've been asking you to think about your own experiences with your family in the holidays. And I do that all, I often encourage us to pause when we find ourselves dwelling on the past. And I really stand by that. At the same time, I think we can distinguish between a kind of mindless habit of getting stuck in a review of the suffering we've experienced, you know, what Martha Beck calls story fondling, versus a more clear-eyed description of our experience, a description we can use when we find ourselves anticipating familiar and difficult circumstances. So I want to give you an example of what I mean that has nothing to do with the holidays. Recently, a friend said to me that she'd given a short presentation at work, and during the presentation, her boss kind of jumped in and said, you know, I think this would have been easier to follow if you'd put all the data on one slide. And my friend said to me, you know, my boss thinks I'm terrible at my job. And I said, okay, let's slow down. What I heard you tell me is that your boss said the information would have been easier to follow if you'd put all the data on one slide. I didn't hear in what you said that she told you that you're bad at your job. But what we both know, right, is that you are very critical of yourself, right? You are quick to tell yourself that you're failing at your job. And so, isn't it interesting, and might you take the witness or observer seat in this situation, at least in reviewing it, to say, what happened? What did my boss say? And what's the story I brought to what my boss said, right? Is it that my boss thinks I'm bad at my job, or do I think I'm bad at my job? And when someone tells me I did something imperfectly, and if that person is my boss, the story immediately becomes, my boss thinks I'm bad at my job. So how do we put that into the context of our families? Well, if your family's anything like mine, you've had the same conversations of, I don't know, 5,000 times, right? You could tell me without very much effort at all, some of the things that will get said in those family interactions. And what I would encourage you to think about is, how can you become the witness in these situations? Be the observer. So first, it's about noticing and knowing for yourself, and this is where the review comes in of, What are the things that typically happen? What are the things that get said? What are some of the things maybe that have been said or interactions that have happened that have been troubling to me that I've brooded over for hours afterwards, or that I've walked out because I've been so offended by, or that I've kind of shut myself down and said, I'm never hanging out with these people again, right? What are some of those things that happen? And can I start to see the basic thing, what was said, versus what is the story I'm bringing to it? So what happens, and what do I tell myself that means about how they see me and how they feel about me? Now, this is not to deny anybody's reality who has difficult or unpleasant relationships with family members. It may be, and in my friend's case, you know, maybe her boss does think she's bad at her job. I don't know, but she didn't say that. And actually, my friend doesn't have any other evidence, like in a review or something where the boss said, you're terrible at this job, right? She has some factual statements. And so that of what her boss said, the factual in the sense that I know what this woman said to me. And then she knows the story she brought to it. So that's what I would ask you to start thinking about. What gets said, and how does what gets said play into a story you are telling yourself, and really that your inner critic is telling you, right? That you're not a good daughter, that you're not a good sister, that you're wrong about so many things, that you're the family failure, or you're the family troublemaker, or you're the one that everyone ignores, right? Those are our interpretations and judgments, and we want to try to disentangle what is said to us, how people interact with us, from the story our inner critic immediately tells us. And I think in part of thinking about that, those experiences, it's helpful sometimes to actually take yourself as much as you can back into that experience and do what you might call a mind and body review. When I remember that event, how do I feel in my body? Where's the tension? Where's the anger? Where's the anxiety? And where does my mind go? Which is the story part, right? So that if I'm in a situation, if I'm in the context of the family conversation, I can become more of a witness, because I can notice when the feelings are in my body again. And we've talked about how, you know, our body expresses it first, the anxiety, the fear, the frustration, whatever it might be. And as we notice that, and we can start to see, oh, my mind's going to that place where this story that they tell every year is really a story about them thinking I'm incompetent. Is that really what they're saying? Or is that what I'm telling myself? My inner critic is telling me all of this means. So I think this season is unique for those of us who are not traveling to see people in person, because we're going to be less frazzled and tired when we interact with our families. We might be able to maintain our own routines better, which is one of the things that makes it difficult when we travel to see family, is that we're suddenly out of our familiar environment, and it makes, you know, we may not be sleeping well, we may not be eating the same way. So physically, we're not at our best in as we anticipate interacting with family. And also, if you're not traveling to see family but are going to interact with them online, you're going to probably spend a heck of a lot less time together, right? Less of that intensity, less of those opportunities for friction, but still an opportunity to pay attention to what happens in your body and what happens in your mind in those moments. And of course, the whole goal of all of this is to be able to bring greater compassion and loving kindness, both to ourselves and to other people. Because I think that you'll start to notice some things, and a couple that have come to mind as I think about this is, I think one of the things, I notice this a lot when I talk to clients, and when they talk about family difficulties, I have a lot of clients who are very high achieving people, and I have to eventually say to them, how does your family relate to your success, right? Have you ever asked yourself, with that brother who's always on your case, or the mother who appears to be telling you that you've never been able to do well enough, no matter what you achieve, it's never enough. Is it possible that they ever feel afraid of you, intimidated by you, judged by you, right? It may not be your intention to do any of those things, because you're kind of stuck in your story of how they see you. But sometimes if we can take the witness or observer seat, we might be in a better position to say, how are they seeing me see them? How am I coming across to them? I remember when my mother finally pointed out to me that I used to talk to her in kind of the college professor voice, and she didn't care for it. But it was a great moment because I didn't know that I did that, right? And when I take the observer position, I can not only notice what's happening in my mind, where is my body going, but I might become more attuned to how the other people I'm interacting with are responding to how I'm acting towards them. And that can be very revealing. And it can be a source of real compassion to say, I'm not trying to intimidate. I'm not trying to be snooty or condescending. And that can be good. And I might have to modify my tone in order to not achieve that undesired end. Another thing is, I think we can notice a different kind of bargaining that we might be engaging in. And this is something where it's probably in the privacy of our own mind. And I think it often happens in anticipation of these encounters, where we say to ourselves, okay, if my sister-in-law is not a snotty brat, I will be nice to her, right? If my parents call me, and then I'll get better about calling them. If they show me loving kindness and compassion, I'll show it towards them. It's that habit of not, of it feels like tug of war, or it feels like we're both holding ends of a rope over a bridge and we're both gonna let go and we're both gonna fall in because no one's willing to go first to make the effort. And I hear you, I can hear this already. You've made the effort. You've gone first a million times. You're gonna have to keep going first. That's just how it is, because it's not really about them. It's about you. It's about your inner peace. And your inner peace does not come from waiting for them to do right by you. It only comes from you doing right by yourself. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back in our fourth segment. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I look forward to talking to you after the break.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune into Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic, channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We are talking today about the holidays and family and COVID. So let me start with COVID and say, you know, one of the places where we are, our images of what holidays should look like and our cultural images of what holidays should look like are really coming up against this COVID thing, aren't they? And it's not just that we may not be able to travel to see family, we may be interacting with people over Zoom, but we might also be feeling a lot of pressure from family and friends who can be like family to keep doing what we've been doing in the past. And that means face-to-face interactions indoors in small spaces in close proximity to others. So without social distancing and maybe without masks. And I just want to say, I strongly encourage you to be your whole self and to live in your integrity and to say, that's not right for you if that's not right for you. And it doesn't seem to be right for anyone, right? It turns out it's not the surfaces, it's the air. And really keeping our distance from people, keeping our masks on, using alternative means just for this year is really the way to go. But I know you might be facing pressure with that. And so I just want to encourage you to stay in your own integrity about this and know that it may hurt people's feelings. That's reality, right? It might upset someone. That's reality. That doesn't make it wrong for you to do what you're doing. So, but family communication is really challenging around the holiday spirit and with the holiday spirit in mind. And so we've been talking about how do you bring an attitude of loving kindness into your interactions with them. And one way is to, first of all, to know what your expectations are, where those images come from of what holidays should look like, of working through something like Kubler-Ross's five stages of grief to say, my family is not the family of my imagination, and that's okay. In order to be able to get to that place, to be accepting of who you are and who they are. It's about preparing, of noticing the places and remembering the places where there has been friction or tension or unhappiness or suffering in the past, and to be able to say what is happening versus what is the story about my role in this family that I am bringing into this interaction. And it's not because that changes anything except how you feel inside, which is the most important thing, right? So that in the interactions that you do have, you start to be able to say and notice, I'm feeling that tension in my chest. My brother's telling that story again. I hate that story. I'm thinking about how much I hate that story, but I'm really noticing, yeah, that's the story that does it for me. It really gets me fired up inside. Just talking yourself through it. Yep, here I am. I'm noticing this. I'm seeing it. Yep, it's really happening. And to the extent that I can stay in that witness seat, I can be responsive rather than reactive. And what you know, responsive might mean laughing along, or it might mean not laughing along if you don't think it's funny. And when somebody says, you know, where's your sense of humor? I've never really liked that story. You don't have to say it even with judgment. You don't have to say it with anger. And you can just say the truth. I've never liked that story. It always makes me feel bad. It's vulnerable. I know it makes you vulnerable to say something like that to a family member, but it's worthwhile, I think, to do that, to be, in your integrity, in your peace, because we can't change other people. We can only change ourselves. And if we are basing our willingness to be kind and compassionate towards others on them being kind and compassionate towards us, then we're in a really losing game. We can't wait for them to initiate it. And it may be the case that you are always the one showing kindness and loving kindness and compassion. And you may never really feel like they give it back to you. And that's a place to be the observer also, and to say, what does acceptance look like in that situation? can I say they're simply not capable of it, or I've never seen it, and how do I accept that? And what does acceptance mean? Does it mean that I can't have these people in my life? Maybe. Maybe it does. Maybe it changes that what it mostly changes, I think, is what you expect from them in terms of what you really can come to accept what they seem to be capable of and not capable of. And when we really accept that about family members, it brings a lot of peace. It really does. So I want to quote the Dalai Lama, because I've never done that before in my show. He said in Enduring the Fires, it's only natural that we don't like suffering. But if we can develop the willpower to bear difficulties, then we will grow more and more tolerant. There is nothing that does not get easier with practice. And I want to say that I give you this quote, it's only natural that we don't like suffering, but if we can develop the willpower to bear difficulties, then we'll grow more and more tolerant. There's nothing that does not get easier with practice. I bring it here, it's not because being around your family gets easier with practice. It's that bringing mindfulness, non-judging awareness to your interactions with them gets easier with practice. And it's the practice of being the witness, of noticing how you feel in your body, of where your mind goes. It doesn't mean you'll always be able to bring some calm, clear communication to the moment, right? But you might be able to extricate yourself from the moment with an attitude of loving kindness and before you go off on someone. And wouldn't that be a nice change of pace if that's something that characterizes your family interactions? You know, we all have shadows that hover nearby, ones that our inner critic often uses to cause our suffering. And recognizing and accepting those shadows brings liberation from their grip on us. Our individual pasts, our cultural context, work together to keep the critic alive. But remembering that we are enough, just as we are, brightens dark corners. It renews our spirit. It allows us to have compassion for ourselves and others. So if you would like to learn more about my work as a life coach, where we talk about loving kindness and compassion and mindfulness, let me know. You can visit my website, which is at mcguirelifecoach.com. That's mcguirelifecoach.com. Or you can email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com. I think my name's probably on the bottom of the screen. I know it's a long one, but the first conversation, we're just going to talk about talking, right? I'd like to know what it is you'd like to achieve through coaching, right? Is it about family communication? Is it about how you feel about your job? Is it about feeling stuck? Let's find out what's most relevant and salient for you in this moment that we can focus on initially. And I'm going to talk to you about my inquiry process or method of interacting with clients. It's really about me listening and asking questions and reflecting back to you what you tell me about your experience, so that you can see it from, it's interesting how even if I'm really just repeating back to you what you've said to me, when it comes from another person, it shifts your perspective. And there's real value in that, in just a slightly different perspective, especially working with a coach, and whether it's me or someone else, someone who doesn't have a real agenda the way our close family and friends do about the decisions that we make. Working with a third party who's a little bit more dispassionate can help you gain perspective in ways that are very powerful. So we'll have a short session in that first conversation so that we can determine if working with me is going to serve your needs. So visit my website, mcguirelifecoach.com. Email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com, and we'll set up a time. So let's take three deep breaths. First breath, just pay attention to your breathing. Second breath, relax. Third breath, set your intention for the next hour of your day. Here we go. Breath two. Breath three. I hope you'll listen to the show next Thursday at noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be an encore presentation of a show I did over the summer on compassion, because honestly, we cannot talk about compassion enough or too much. It is the cornerstone to our own capacity for developing inner peace, so that we can bring more peace into the world. Thank you for joining me today on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.